the first reading, we have three figures that help us to reflect more upon ourselves. We have the elders, we have Susanna, and we have Daniel. The elders are judges who not only have power over others, but also authority. Power is given and taken, but authority is bestowed upon someone who has a level of trust over others, and that usually takes an oath. Biblical authority is meant to give life. In the Bible, authority is seen as the power to give life and to nurture life. These judges are meant to uphold justice, as all judges are, by properly interpreting the law. But these elders abandoned the moral law by their lust and deceit. We should reflect on how many times in history men have used their power and strength to force women to sin. Whether it is behind trees or behind screens, men have reduced women to objects through lust. The figure of Susanna. In the midst of a terrifying predicament, Susanna is a witness to faith. She is given the great predicament of, do I give in to the demands of lust and be guilty of a grievous sin? Or do I refuse and suffer false accusation leading to my death? This is Psalm 43, verses 1, that could be a prayer of those who receive false and malicious accusation. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From deceitful and unjust men, deliver me. Today, people might look at Susanna's situation and say, she shouldn't have done that. She could have said, well, no one will know, except God and her will know. People may say, well, you should comply. You'll get fired, or it's the law. But unjust law is no law at all. Or in this case, Susanna, you'll die. Just give in. Through all of history, every time we are tempted, it is a temptation to comply with moral evil and sin before God. Or to refuse moral evil and pay the consequences. In this case, Susanna, of her death. Adultery will always be an objective moral evil, even though culpability is reduced because of fear. Susanna teaches us heroic virtue in the midst of great trial. She teaches us to trust in God always, no matter what is happening in our life, no matter what is happening in society. And then you have the figure of Daniel. Daniel's heart was open to be stirred by God through courage and wisdom. With courage, he fought for the truth to be revealed. And although young, with wisdom he upheld justice through due process, something that the elders did not do. Daniel reminds men that they must fight. Men must do battle between lust and love. This takes place in the human heart. Men will either look with lust or with what J.P. II called the peace of the interior gaze. It was with his gaze with which our Lord looked at the woman caught in adultery. To look but not touch is to already commit adultery. As St. John Paul II, the Great, in his general audience on October the 8th, 1980, said, adultery in the heart is not committed only because a man looks in this way at a woman who is not his wife, but precisely because he looks in this way at a woman. Even if he were to look in this way at the woman who is his wife, he would commit the same adultery in the heart. He goes on to continue a few years later to say, Christ assigns the dignity of every woman as a task to every man. A father, he must be the guardian of purity in the family. He must fight to keep the ancient serpent at bay by protecting the innocence of his children, but also to keep his marriage bed holy. We need the example of Saint Joseph, the terror of demons, to help protect marriages and families from lust and deceit. And to that, I encourage men to consecrate themselves to Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is usually depicted with the flower of the lily. The name of Susanna means lily. Now some may ask, is this battle even possible? In the encyclical letter Veritatis Splendor, The Splendor of Truth, in 1993, St. John Paul II the Great said, "What are the concrete possibilities of man? And of which man are we speaking? Of man dominated by lust, or of man redeemed by Christ? This is what is at stake, the reality of Christ's redemption. Christ has redeemed us. This means he has given us the possibility of realizing the entire truth of our being. He has set our freedom free from the domination of lust. And if redeemed man still sins, this is not due to an imperfection of Christ's redemptive act, but to man's will not to avail himself of the grace which flows from that act. God's command is, of course, proportioned to man's capabilities, but to the capabilities of a man to whom the Holy Spirit has been given."